We have been in a series this month on called Our House, and we talked about the commission, we talked about community, and today we're going to talk about the power of collaboration. And you've already been hearing it, I mean, between testimony, between missions. We're obviously, we have a lot of missions partnerships. We have a lot of organizations that we partner with, we collaborate with to be able to impact. And I hope today, as we share a little bit, that you are challenged in your peace. We're all called to be part of the body of Christ, and each one of us are different pieces of that. And really, you'll stand before the Lord on those things, but we're called to be connected in, belonging to one another, and collaborating for the kingdom of God, right? Now, of course, we have a purpose right here at what church am I at? Do you ever have that? No. When you have pastored over all the years, sometimes I'm like, what state am I in? What church am I at? It's weird. Sometimes, like, it's the weirdest thing, because I just had a different church come to mind, and I've been here for 7 years. But it's amazing what the Lord does in our lives, right? And that's funny. But we're talking about the power of collaboration, building the body of Christ together. And so we need each other. It's not just my job as the pastor. It's not just our team's job to build the body of Christ at Rockside, in Independence, beyond Independence, and then, of course, nationally and globally. It cannot be done by one person. We get that, right? It takes a whole team working together, collaborating with vision and purpose, using the gifts that each person has so that we can affect the kingdom, right? I don't know about you, but where I live and my block is not totally all saved. There are people around me in my circle and even in my family that still don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I bet the same is for you, right? In your block and where you work and maybe in your family, not everybody understands the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. So guys, we have a commission, right? The Great Commission from Jesus. We have a commission as Rockside Church, right? Some of you have it on a t-shirt that you're wearing right now. It's on our banners, right? Taking the unchanging love of Christ to what? To an ever-changing world. That is our commission. We need a community, right? It's important. We need each other. We've got things going on in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our own mental health. We need each other in community. It's important. We're not meant to do it alone. And then we're going to talk about the power of collaboration. So let's pray as we get into Scripture today. Father, thank you, Jesus. We already know you're here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. We ask for the next few moments, Lord, that you will just illuminate your Scripture. Thank you, God, that your word is living and active, and that you'll speak to each heart what they need to hear from your heart. God, I pray you'll open our ears, open our eyes. Teach us today. May we leave different as we learn from you this morning in your precious name. Amen. So we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 6, so you can turn there. We're going to read that in a moment. But we're looking at the early church. They were facing some challenges dealing with unity and teamwork, and they figured out a way to overcome that. And so I thought, what a great example for us to bring that to us today. As we dive in, I want us to consider how we can apply the principle of collaboration in our church life today. Sound good? Before we do that, I want to share with you, I've got a couple examples today, but think about this. Think about a sports team, all right? Anybody sports fan? Wait a minute. Now listen, we're in church, people. Some of you, all right, are there any sports fans? Okay, put your hand up, all right? It's okay. All right, thank you. Thank you for being honest, all right? So in basketball, I'm not so much a fan. I mean, I appreciate it, but I don't watch it a ton. My husband is definitely a sports fan. So he knows all of these things, right? So in basketball, for example, no one player can win the game on their own, right? Now, some people might disagree that LeBron could, but anyways, that's just kidding. But no, even he cannot win the game on his own. He needs a team, right? A star player may be amazing, have great talent, but it takes the whole team, each person doing their part, to win the championship. Okay, so similarly in our own church, we all have different giftings, right? But when combined, it makes us stronger, and we can do things better together when we're all doing our part, fulfilling the mission of God that God has called us to as a corporate church, but also individually. No one can do it all. So here's the quick definition of collaboration. You guys already know this because you're super smart. But it's the action of working with someone to produce or create something. That's beautiful. A couple other words that are similar, like teamwork, joint effort, partnership, alliance. All right, those are things that are similar to the collaboration. God has called us to collaborate with the Holy Spirit, collaborate with each other, right? Our bodies, even how we're designed, you realize right now your body and your organs are collaborating together. They're working together so you can breathe, so you can think and laugh or fall asleep during the sermon. Your body is working together, right? All right, so turn with me to Acts chapter 6. It's going to be on the screen, but you can turn to your device or your physical Bible. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. All right, so Acts chapter 6. So already in Acts, the church started, the Holy Spirit came, right? It's blowing up. Peter preached. Thousands are coming to know Jesus, all right? Oh, it's an amazing time. But because of that explosive growth, all of a sudden, the church is starting to have some problems, all right? And those are starting to rise to the surface. Anytime there's growth in anything, there's always going to be some messy things to have to figure out. And I love this example in Acts 6 because it shows us what we need to do in these kinds of cases, all right? So Acts 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 7, all right? You with me?
Yep.
You guys doing good?
Yep.
All right. Says this, seven men were chosen, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, praise the Lord, there were rumblings of discontent. Boy, doesn't that sound like today? Today's day and age, right? You know, there's good things happening, but there's always going to be the rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers, now listen, complained about the Hebrew speaking believers, all right? So there were two different groups. Any that sound familiar, right? We got, I won't go there. Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Well, obviously, the love of Jesus compels you to love and give and do what you can. So obviously, the needs were huge, the food shortage was huge, so they were trying to do all they could to get it out to those that needed it. And there, of course, there was a group of people that weren't getting all their needs met. And so the one group begins to complain that the other group's not getting what they need. It's human nature, right? Obviously. The 12 couldn't handle it all because of the explosive growth. So, verse 2. So the 12, all right, such wisdom from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank him for his wisdom. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. So they took action, right? They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select seven men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching of the word. Now listen, they were not saying that this is not important, right? Obviously, feeding the poor and taking care was important, but they realized at that point where it was growing, they no longer could do it all, right? And so they're like, all right, we're going to need to collaborate. We're going to need to bring in some other people who have the love of Jesus, who are good people, to be able then to do that so that we can continue on this other portion that Jesus is asking us. Do you see how both those things are important? Both of them are needed. And it takes multiple people working together to collaborate on it. Oh, I love this example, right? They selected seven men who are well-respected, full of the Spirit, not full of selfishness, not full of their own agenda, full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility, and then we can spend time in prayer and teaching. In verse 5, this is what you want for your meetings, right? Everyone liked this idea. I don't know about you, but that seems pretty miraculous, I think. Okay, I don't know. Small miracles. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, and an early convert to the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles. All right, they were presented to them, and then they prayed for them and laid hands on them. Right? They weren't just serving a slot. This was ministry. This was purpose. They laid hands on them so they would be committed, commissioned to be able to do this, take care of this portion of God's heart, right? Oh. And then, verse 7, so God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Such a powerful example, a powerful lesson to us on what it takes. If we want to see God grow here, we want to see the church grow here at the Rockside, if we want to see the gospel in Independence and Cleveland area, it's going to take all of us collaborating together with the gifts that God has given each of us, because they're all different and they're for different purposes. And that's a good thing. It takes us all hands on deck. Amen. And so from those few verses, there's a few things that I just want to talk about as we get into the message today. Number one, the necessity of collaboration in the church. It is necessary that we work together. And that can be difficult. In Acts 6, the early church was experiencing such huge growth, and with it came those challenges. This could have led to division. Do you understand the enemy sneaks? He's prowling around. He is looking for cracks. He's looking anywhere where he can get in and try to bring division, divide. Brother against brother, this against that, bring a misunderstanding, whatever. He wants division because then he can have more power. Unity pushes the enemy out. Instead, back at verse Acts 6:2, they immediately called a meeting, right? They immediately took action to try to fix the problem. They recognized this huge need for collaboration so that the church could move forward, so that Christ's mission could move forward. We are all given gifts to utilize and encourage within the body of Christ. But God does not intend for the Christian community to be insular. We are to be salty salt and a bright light to the world. Okay? All right? So it's important for us here, but we're called to be salt and light to the dark world, right? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. You guys doing good? All right. Matthew chapter 5, familiar passage. You guys know it. Sometimes it's harder to live it. That's why we have to be reminded. All right, Matthew 5, verses 13 and 16. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. That doesn't do any good. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We have to stay salty. We got to stay lit. Those are some words, you know, that I'm getting. Right? You're welcome, right? I looked that up, right? But really, in order to do that, you got to get in the presence of the Lord yourself. In order to do that, you got to be in the Word of God yourself. We have to be shining in the darkness. That means when you're out at the store, your example, your witness, When you're online, please, when you're online, represent Jesus, represent Christ, represent the church, represent love, represent well, because the world is watching. Whether you know it or not, it's amazing. When I travel, people will say, they'll talk about, I don't even know some of them very well. Hey, I saw your post. Thanks so much. That was encouraging. And it was like, I'm like, you know, like it matters how we live and what we do online. Our witness matters. We're either pouring on salt or we're pushing people farther away. Our job is to shine bright, right? For Jesus. It's a dark world. A lot of it we're not going to be able to change until Jesus comes back. But in the meantime, we can be salt and we can be light. And that takes the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, right? To heal us, to move in us. Amen? Amen. We got to collaborate with the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom is for all people. Do we believe that? Amen. The church is supposed to be a hospital for the sick, all right? We come, and that really means all of us, because we all have sin, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So really, regardless of the level of need for God, we are all in need of that. And that's what the church is supposed to be, open arms to the broken, to receive those who are needing restoration, who are needing hope. And I'm thankful, Rock said, that we're contending, we're continuing to be that and grow in that more and more. But we have empty seats here. We've got people in our streets and in our workplaces that still need to know the love of Jesus. Collaboration is so important. Many of you probably own an Apple something, maybe an Apple Watch or an Apple phone or Apple computer, right? Probably a lot of us. When Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak first started Apple, it was a dream that they had, but they needed collaboration. They needed to bring their talents together. Jobs had the vision, but Wozniak had the technical expertise. In those early days, they didn't just have a great product idea. They had to collaborate on everything to create something that is so innovative. Oh my goodness. And even in that process, as they were collaborating, it wasn't perfect. If you've read any on it or know, even their relationship has had some struggles because of that. But they had to bring their ideas together to be able to create this crazy thing that if you have a phone, it's got your computer, your email, you can call people, you can video. I mean, everything is in this one small device. That is incredible. But it took the ability to come together, working together. We're each called to be part of God's plan and work together for his kingdom. We can accomplish so much more, all right? So I'm speaking to some of you today, because some of you today, you haven't yet collaborated maybe with the Holy Spirit fully. Maybe you haven't said yes to Jesus being fully in your life. Maybe you've been here for a while and you love Jesus, but you haven't yet collaborated fully with being connected in or serving, being on a team where you can give out of your heart to the church and to others. Today's challenge is for you to look at that. Where are you at on collaborating? Number two is this. Collaboration in leadership is important. Acts 6, right, was a great example. They entrusted 7 men. This is important, that were full of the Spirit and wisdom. It's so important that we live out life where we are following the Holy Spirit with whatever we're doing as we're serving God's people, that the Holy Spirit is a part of that. One of the things that, one of our core values, which are over here, empowering people for ministry. We want to train and release people into their giftings. We want to get people connected in to places that are blessing them, that they're loving being a part of. Many of you that are on teams already, you're already serving and you're loving it. You love being a part of that team and being able to grow in your gifts and your talents. It's important that we collaborate together in leadership. In the same way, collaboration and leadership means recognizing when others are gifted and allowing them to take ownership, right? Sometimes that's difficult when we start to release and delegate, but it's an important part of that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, another very familiar scripture, but an important one as we're looking at this power of collaboration today. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says this, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church." He's such a good God, right? He gives us gifts, things that can be utilized for his glory, obviously, and for his commission, But he hasn't just left us like, well, good luck. You know, he's given us gifts. Here are the gifts: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do this work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in the faith and knowledge of God's Son. And we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature children, like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever they sound like truth. Instead, right, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. I love that. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full in love. The Holy Spirit has given gifts to the church. Of course, there's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those gifts are available. These gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, many of you, you may be like, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not. You have a heart for people to know Jesus. That means that gifting is growing in you. Some of you in here, you don't even know yet, but you might be called a pastor of church. You might be like, man, the Lord's calling me at some point. I'm going to plant a church. We're a sending church. We've sent the Connors, right? Some of you might in here might be called to do missions. Like, there is gifting still at play. The Lord is working, stirring up. And so we need to be utilizing those things, right? And I love how the Lord, it says that he makes the whole body fit together, right? Perfectly. Because we are human and we do have sin and, you know, sometimes we rub each other the wrong way and those things. So thankfully, he helps us fit together, right? So even as we're collaborating in leadership, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do so, so that we stay according to God's design. Amen? All right, third thing is this, collaboration with the Holy Spirit. That's important, right? We make a decision to know Jesus Christ, and then we say, all right, Holy Spirit, I give you my life. So collaborating with the Holy Spirit is important. In Acts chapter 6, the Holy Spirit was central to their decision-making process. They didn't just decide to do this on their own. No, it was very important. Without the Holy Spirit, our efforts are futile. It's pointless. If we come and have church and we're not experiencing the Holy Spirit, if we're not experiencing the presence of God, we're just hanging around singing some songs and clapping. I mean, right. The power of the Holy Spirit is what we need. It directs us, it empowers us so that we can fully collaborate as a church. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom to make decisions. Thank you, Jesus. I will tell you, during COVID and during those years recently that were very difficult as leadership, the Holy Spirit is what gave us wisdom. The Holy Spirit is how we contended to stay in unity under the cross of Jesus. The Holy Spirit helped us. But we have to collaborate with that. You have to collaborate with the Holy Spirit, right? We have to be humble and lay down our rights. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to serve and the unity to stay on mission. Jesus is coming back, you guys. I know we've heard it for a long time. But as the days and days go on, he is closer and closer to coming back. And it is just so important that we are living out the commission, that we're walking it out every day, that we're in right relationship with Jesus, that we know that if we die today, we are going to meet him because we know him as a personal Lord and Savior, right? I mean, it is important that we are living that out. When we follow the Holy Spirit's direction, we can be confident that our efforts will bear fruit in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. We can be confident that the fruit will come from that. Amen? Amen. Acts 1:8 says this, and I'll read it. It'll be on the screen. You guys know this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Thank you, Jesus. And you will be my witness. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you're going to be you. You're going to be you in your personality and who you are. You're going to be that telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 2:38. Go to the next one. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Guys, this day and age, we need to be repenting daily, asking the Lord to forgive you, wash you. This world is rough and tough, and sin is crouching at our door all the time, temptation and addiction all the time. And so having that heart that just says, "Lord, I repent today of my sins. I repent of my selfishness," whatever that is. And for some of you, maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart before. Maybe that's not been something that you've ever said yes to. Today would be a great day to say, "You know what, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to live in eternity with you. I want to be forgiven of my sins today." That'd be a great day, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. I don't know about you, but we're watching. It seems like lots of sickness, more so than ever before. Lots of cancer, just over the top than ever before. It seems that way. I feel like death is happening more and more than ever before. It's always happened, but it just seems that way. I don't know about you, but in my at least circle and in my spaces, it feels that way. Jesus is coming back, and he needs us ready. He needs you ready. He needs you getting other people ready so that they can spend time in eternity with him. The last verse, Romans 8:26 and 27. "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us and with groanings that can not be expressed within words. Thank you, Jesus, for that. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. I'm so thankful for that. I constantly come to the Holy Spirit daily, realizing my need for him. I don't know about you guys, but leading a church is not an easy thing. The burden of it, the responsibility of it, trying to care for and love is very difficult, and I take it very serious. And I'm thankful that God has given us a great spiritual board. He's given us a great ministry team, beautiful volunteers. And so I'm thankful for the collaboration, right? I'm thankful for that. But we need the Holy Spirit and his power more than ever before. The last thing I want us to just look at as we're looking at collaboration is the results of collaboration equal kingdom growth. That's what we want. We want to see kingdom growth. When the early church worked together in unity and collaboration, the kingdom of God expanded, and I would even say exploded. Isn't that what we want here? Expansion, growth, more people in freedom, more people knowing Jesus as their Lord and Savior, more families being restored. That is what we want. Amen? One last illustration, and then I'll button it up. What's our time at? We're close. All right. So think of this. Think of a great orchestra, all right? Every musician brings their unique skill and instrument to the performance. And the conductor ensures that everything comes together in harmony. When each instrument is played well and in concert with the others, the result is beautiful music. However, imagine if one section of the orchestra decides we're going to do it our own way, right? It'd be disjointed and chaotic. And not sound very good. But when the entire orchestra collaborates together, the result is a beautiful masterpiece. In the same way, we as a church must work together. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can create something beautiful that's a testimony to the world. That's a testimony as we walk to the grocery store, as we're getting gas. We can create something that brings light to the world and hope to the world. Amen? Amen. Just as an orchestra's success depends on collaboration, our success as the church depends on how we come together in unity to fulfill God's mission. Now listen, that doesn't mean you check your brain at the door. Doesn't mean you have to think like everyone else. That's not what that's talking about, right? All right? We all have different ways of thinking, we've been brought up differently. We have different views on things. The point is, though, that we bring those things to the cross of Jesus, and this becomes priority over it, right? This becomes the banner that we wave. We don't, we lay those other things down. In order for us to fulfill God's mission, we have to be unified together in it, all right? And I believe that's everybody's desire for us, to see more lives transformed, to see more families saved and restored, to see those that are addiction broken and healed. That is our desire, amen? That's Jesus's desire. So as we close today, I just want to leave a couple thoughts for you, with you. How can we apply it? Number one, we can recognize the value of teamwork. We can look across the room and realize how valuable each of us are. We can empower others. That's our goal even as a team. We want to empower you here in your giftings to be able to serve Jesus and what that looks like. Some of you, it might look different, but it's just bringing what you have for God's kingdom. Praying for unity and guidance. Oh, we can all pray, right? We can all pray for the church, pray for guidance, pray for unity. We can make sure that our hearts are good before the Lord. If somebody's offended us, we can Matthew 18 and talk to them instead of gossiping about it to other people, right? And serving together, finding opportunities to serve alongside each other in the church. It is so important. I want you guys to pull out of your bulletin this little half sheet that was in there. Everybody should have one. It's really important. These are ways that, and there are more, these are just the ones we could fit on a half sheet. But these are ways that you can get connected in and connect with others. And then at the very bottom, there is a place and there's multiple ways and places for you to serve. Now listen, we aren't asking you to do these things because we're desperate to fill a slot. We just recognize that when you belong, when you're connected into a group, you're growing, you're building relationship, you have accountability, you have people that now are looking out for you more so, and so it's important. So whether it's getting involved in discipleship or life groups or prayer or men and women, what we have going on for that, or our midweek, or whether it's looking at this list of places to serve and just saying, Lord, what are you asking of me? And that really is the question for you today is, Lord, what are you asking of me in this year, in 2025? Some of you, I know you've known Jesus for a long time, and you say things like, well, I've already done that kind of thing. I don't need to do that again. Or, you know, I've been there, done that. Listen, now's not the time. Now, we need all hands on deck. We need you to say, Jesus, what do you need from me this year? How can I serve you? How can I serve the church? How can I serve my community, right? How can I serve the missions partnerships that we're collaborating with? What does that look like? And for you, maybe that's coming once a month on Saturday at our 10 o'clock prayer. And that's your way of collaborating and connecting in. It's not about doing all the things, but it's about each member of the church, each part of the body doing what God has called us to do, right? We can't do it all, but if every person is doing their portion, it'll make a huge difference.